You're now listening to the See Me CNC Printed 3D Podcast with hosts John Ole Olofsson, Steve Pardetti Wygant, and Casey Hendrickson.
Casey Hendrickson here with the guys from SeeMeCNC.com. Again, it's SeeMeCNC.com. Got Steve, got John. What's up, guys? How you doing?
Very good. How about
all right.
You?
Doing well. So this is the first of a whole series of podcasts. You guys finally decided to launch a whole podcast, right?
Yeah.
Here we are. So is this going to be just 3D printing, or are we going to totally like geek out on this thing every time we do one?
Lots of 3D printer stuff, obviously, because that's kind of, you know, what we do. But yeah, other maker
pay
stuff.
Your bills, whatever.
Geek out on some other cool technology and things that we come across in our travels.
Now, would you say that you guys are most known for your Rostock or your Orion printers? Which one do you think you probably get the most notoriety for, people know the company the most for?
Well, we're known most for the Rostock Max kit. It's been extremely popular. We're starting our third year production on that kit. The Orion, it's popular too, but by far the Rostock Max.
You get much bigger print area, and I think a lot of people like the hands-on of building it themselves.
Yeah,
especially in the maker community.
Yeah, with you know, us growing up out of the maker fairs and that DIY crowd, the Rostock Max, we've only really ever offered it as a kit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had just an incredible following for the last few years with the Rostocks. And, you know, being one of the first guys out there to produce a kit for a Delta-style 3D printer, that's kind of what we hung our hat on, if you will, is the crazy spider-looking Delta 3D printers. So we're a generic name now, it seems like, sometimes for the Delta-style 3D printers.
Now, do you guys tend to get most of your customers, are they people that already are into 3D printing and so they're getting the Rostock, maybe they had another printer and they're already used to it, or do you tend to get a lot of people that are relatively new to it that come to you for the first time?
I would say it's probably 70% new, 30% yeah. are...
And the new people are buying the Rostock. They're not going for the assembled Orions.
A lot of people are buying the kits. I mean, when we started doing the Orions, we figured, all right, we got the hot ticket, a nice little machine. It's got all the options you'd ever need.
It prints big enough.
Good quality to print.
You know, for most of what you do, the Orion works, but...
Full size.
They like the idea of that larger print volume, I think.
It's a little less money. It encourages them to learn a little bit more, and they learn a whole lot more about the process with if they build a Rostock. Stock versus the Orion.
And hopefully, you know, they just assume that's going to help them down the line because, I mean, there's a little bit of a learning curve when you get into this. I always tell people when I got the Orion, I was able to print first day.
Yep.
But to get really good at it consistently and be able to solve problems myself and that sort of thing, I think it was about 6 months is when I got really comfortable with doing that.
Yeah.
And of course, it's going to depend on, you know, what you're doing and how often you're doing it and what you're trying to print. But I figured about 6 months is when I started getting, you know, the prints that I really was happy with.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have people come to you, do they tend to want to print something particular, or do they just really like the printer and just kind of want to have one because they're really kind of the it thing right now?
I think most people are just wanting to get into 3D printing. And we do have that share of customers that come to print a specific item.
It's more businesses, like, they'll come to us and say, hey, that's a really big machine. I got this crazy part. Will it fit in there? Yeah, okay. Then those are the guys that really have a specific need. But majority of people, they just want something to play with. They heard about 3D printing. They've seen it before. Maybe they got a friend that's got one, or a library, local college, community college, something. They've had some sort of interaction. And they just want to try it themselves.
Now, when you guys went to CES, because CES just got done.
Yes.
You just got back from Vegas. CES is always fun. I know I'm from Vegas. And so CES is always a blast every year it happened. You guys also kind of introduced the world to another printer option that you can actually buy. You got the Part Daddy. I mean, we probably talk about the Part Daddy, but although everybody keeps trying to buy the Part Daddy from you guys, that's not really for sale.
Oh, everything's got a price.
Yet. Yet not for sale. But you did introduce another 3D printer that is going to be kind of even a smaller step, because there's a lot of people that are looking at the Orion and, okay, it comes assembled. I don't have to learn about, you know, putting it together and deal with all of that and making a mistake, and it's smaller, but it still prints fairly big. You have the Rostock, which is much bigger, obviously. But there's still a lot of people who want to get into 3D printing, but maybe they're not ready to take the jump on one of those bigger printers yet. And so you guys introduced the Aeris?
Yep.
Yeah, the Aeris is a smaller printer. It's a 5-inch diameter by 6-inch tall build volume.
Delta printer again.
It's a Delta printer, and it'll be fully assembled. It'll cost a good deal less than the Orion does, which is assembled. And, you know, that'll allow people, you know, more people who want to get into it but not spend quite so much money.
Maybe they want to get a smaller one, get comfortable with it, figure out if it's really for them.
Right. So you've had your Orion for about a year now.
It's been about a year. I think like a year and a month, something like that.
How many times have you printed something that took up the entire size of the machine?
I don't know, maybe five or six times, man.
It was just more probably I'm going to go out on a limb and say just because, right?
I'm just going to max it out and play with it, yeah.
So you didn't need all of that size, but it was there, which is cool. But, you know, in the Aeris, it was our theory and our design was to have something that was big enough to print everyday useful objects, but to keep the cost and the price down because we ship internationally. Like 40% of everything we build leaves the country.
Really?
So with that, shipping is pretty expensive on the machines. Sure. I mean, even the kits that are cheaper, you know, if they're in the UK, it's $140, $150 bucks to ship it there. So we needed something that was smaller but could still print big parts, big enough for everyday usable parts. Mm-hmm. Another thing that we did was the LCDs and the controllers and all the bells and whistles, if you will, of the Orion. They're neat and they're really handy to have, but they're also more what I would say in the industry is like an advanced feature. You don't need them to print stuff. It's just handy and nice to have them, but it's a lot of extra cost also. So keeping the machine price, we're shooting for $599.
It's a $600 printer.
So $600 and you're printing today.
Which is, you know, roughly what, $300-$400 under the Rostock, which is unassembled.
Yeah, Rostock's $999 as a kit, and the Orions are $1,299.
So this makes it, you know, a much more affordable option for somebody who maybe isn't completely convinced this is what they're going to do, or maybe you just got somebody who does jewelry or figurines or something. They don't need a bigger printer.
Yeah, it prints 3/4 the size of an Orion, so almost as big as the Orion, 75%, but it's less than half the price.
Wow.
So we stripped out some of the stuff like the LCD control panel and the onboard storage, which... If you're doing 3D printing, you have a computer sitting there anyway, so hooking it up with a USB cable is fine.
Now, what type of you know, real estate are we looking at as far as your desk? Because the Orion's fairly small. I mean, it's, you know, it has the same, I would say, circumference footprint as your average printer, but it's taller, you know, obviously. Right. But what type of real estate are we talking about with the Aeris?
Yeah, the Aeris takes up about an 8-inch diameter circle, roughly, and stands at about, 16 inches?
Yeah. Like, it ships in a 13-inch square by 24-inch tall box.
Okay.
So, pretty compact little machine, but it still has a really good size build volume for the size of machine that
it
is.
And we went all the way with the packaging. It's a, you know, it's got a handle. You're going to be able to store your machine or transport it in there. So
yeah, you've hauled your Orion all over the place, and it's our smallest printer we have right now, but it's still, it's 25 pounds.
Yeah, it can be a pain sometimes, sure.
9 pounds, I think, is what it's
really
coming out at.
Really easy to move around.
Yeah, real easy to grab, throw it in the back of the car with some of the work on the software and the calibration scripts with the software, things that make it easier to set up the machine and get it going if you drop it or bump it.
And that could be perfect, too, for, you know, education professionals or something like that, because I had a friend who bought one of your systems, actually, and they're like, okay, dude, I need you to, like, come show me how to do this and set it up. And so I did, and he's a math teacher. He's a professor, actually, and he wanted to print off, you know, examples of geometric shapes and things like that for his class. And but it got to the point where he didn't want to leave it overnight. He wanted to take it home and he wanted to print with it at home too. So something like this can make it easier for you to go back and forth.
Oh yeah. The box, the packaging and everything set up. So like your filament and the power supply and the machine all fit right back down in there. You got a nice little carrying handle on it.
Standard filament rolls on this thing?
Standard filament. No cartridges, no special anything.
All right. You can use the you can use the 2-pound spools, but we started carrying the 1-pound spools that kind of fit the size of the machine and the size of the prints, too, recently. So that's interesting.
Yep.
And those are good, too. I mean, because, again, anytime somebody is just starting, maybe they don't know if they're going to like a color or something like that. Well, it'll still last a good time.
Yeah, well, about 5-6 months ago or so, we talked about getting with our manufacturer and getting everything we got in a smaller size also, because especially somebody starting out, you know, with all the different materials, it'd be kind of nice to maybe get a little variety instead of, yeah, $40 isn't that much for one spool. It's a lot of plastic, though. Sure. You know, it takes you a long time to print out that one roll of plastic.
Yeah, it probably took me 5 months to get through the very first roll. I was printing multiple things every day.
Right, and so, yeah, let's say 3 months. So for 3 months, you're printing the same color blue every time. So for that same cost, you could have two or maybe three different colors or two different types of materials, something like that. So that was
good variety.
That was kind of the start of getting to a smaller spool that was more affordable to have a larger variety for your machines.
Now, is there a resolution or a quality difference between the three machines that you guys offer? I know they're all Delta models, but does the Rostock print a little bit better than the Orion? Does that Orion print a little bit better than the Aeris?
Well, I wanted to say something about that on the Aeris. We've kind of gone all out. We're not wanting to sacrifice any of that resolution with the quality of print you're going to get out of it.
Yeah, it's right up there. I mean, we've got a couple prototypes that we took to CES and showed off to the world there. And they print just as good as all our other machines, despite us building them in the hotel that night, you know.
I saw you're doing all the injection molding on the arms and things like that.
Yeah,
you're
like Friday
ready to go.
Night before we fly out. Yeah.
I started looking at it, I'm like, man, it's getting close here. So.
I cut that one a little close.
Yeah. So it worked out. I mean, we saw the videos of them up and running.
That's that Maker Faire tradition thing. You know, I think every Maker Faire we've gone to, we've had something new to show, and we never build it until like the night before in the hotel.
But so you guys did make that with the Part Daddy, for crying out
loud.
Yeah,
we finished that in Detroit.
Yeah.
The Henry Ford, but we went and checked out Fry's Electronics there in Las Vegas.
Love Fry's Electronics. Yeah, geek porn is
apparently
what
we needed a soldering iron at 7:30 at night in Las Vegas on a Sunday.
If you're listening to this and you do not live in an area where they have Fry's, see, we're in South Bend right now. I believe that Chicago has a Fry's, but I don't
know
of another one.
Lower West Suburbs, actually.
Lower West Suburbs.
Okay, I didn't know there was one in Chicago. There's one down by Indy, I know.
Yeah, and when Fry's opened up in Vegas, because I was living there at the time, doing radio there at the time, when it opened up in Vegas, nobody knew what this massive, giant building
was.
Now, see, right now, it's in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
It was by itself in the middle of the desert, next to the freeway.
From here, even.
And, I mean, just, and every time their paper came out, we would all, because I was working in IT at the time, too, when I was doing radio on the weekends, and we opened their little flyer, their catalog that comes out every Sunday, called a geek porn. Like that, that was your hustler for the weekend when Fry's Electronics
it's
came
like
out.
It's like Harbor Freight for the machine junkies and mechanics
and
gearheads.
But not the low-quality stuff. I mean,
no,
it's real
got
stuff.
Everything there.
Cheapest price you're going to find.
It actually
and
saved our butt
a
little
bit. It was a savior,
Not only a soldering iron did we need, but UPS was a little bit slow in getting our packages shipped out there.
Right.
So we had three machines, four machines, five machines there at the hotel with three spools of filament, five machines.
Yeah.
So Fry's actually carries filament now. So
no kidding.
We picked up a couple rolls, and that was good for that first game.
Was it okay?
it worked all right.
It was cheap filament.
Okay.
But it
worked.
It
worked
just as good as some of the other stuff that we have. It's not...
Yeah.
It's... You can tell the difference between ours and theirs.
I've stepped out a couple of times on you guys for filament, tested it out, and I have not been happy.
Hey, no problems, man. We still love you.
You know, there's one I didn't pay for it. In fact, I think Tim brought me back a free
back
sample
from the Detroit Fair.
Yeah, the neon green stuff. It's terrible. It's horrible.
Neons are weird.
To touch on the filament thing. It's important to touch on that because
everything we carry is American made right now. Yeah.
The quality of what you put in has a lot to do with the quality of what you get out.
Yep, for a low-cost machine, you know, there's not a whole lot of sensors, if you will, that measure all of the variables in the material that the machine uses. So if it's putting in, if you're putting in different stuff all the time, you're going to get different stuff out. So
I think that's important, too, and that's one of the things that I kind of tell people. Like, I've used, I think, just about every color that you guys offer. And, you know, I've got the Ninja Flex now that I'm going to start printing with. I've got the carbon fiber filament, which is my favorite so far.
That stuff's awesome.
When you get filament that just isn't good, when you go on the forums too, you go to seemecnc.com, you click on the forum button, and you go to the filament section. People are buying filament off of eBay all the time.
Amazon, they're getting group buys, like Groupon deals are starting to pop up for filament now for 3D printers.
It's terrible. You know, there's a couple of companies make really good filament, and you've partnered with some of them as well to get good filament for you guys.
So Protopastas, who does the carbon fiber stuff.
Yeah, great stuff, good company. You guys carry that at seemecnc.com, and so it's important to get good filament, not just a good machine.
Yep.
But that filament can mean everything. You might have a great machine, you get crappy filament, you're going to have a horrible print.
It's just
going to be how it is.
You can have a crappy machine with really great filament. You might still get some good prints off of it.
You never know. So what's some of the things you guys saw at CES in 3D printing that kind of intrigued you and might steer your direction for the company in the next year?
Ooh, we try it. We don't usually follow.
We don't predict that far out in advance. But
you know, it was really cool. We were the only company to have a Delta-style printer there.
Really?
I don't know if we mentioned it earlier.
No.
We were first. We were the first ones, and we're still the only ones that actually have... you buy it today, we'll ship it tomorrow product. Some of the neat things we saw in 3D printing, there's a lot of the stereolithography style printers coming up. We've got a little kit out there. It's kind of our first foray, if you will, into the stereolithography style machines.
The droplet.
There's a little bit of a hold up there from us as a company, and just from a health standpoint with the resins, the materials are kind of gnarly.
Yeah.
Compare it to, you know, dipping your hands in used motor oil is kind of the equivalent of it. So there's some safety precautions there. One of our good friends from the makerspace is working with one of the companies that actually makes the material. And so there's a big push going on right now to try and find materials that are more environmentally friendly or more health conscious, that don't have so many risks associated with them.
Yeah.
Once we get there, I think you'll see those machines explode a lot more.
Yeah, because I myself included, I mean, I was very interested to see the droplet when it came out, and, you know, because I'm interested in a resin printer as well, and for molding and things like that, because you all know I have a company on the side too. And so
doing the sand casting and lost investment casting stuff is really great for it. And what was surprising was how many companies showed up with a new SLA printer, and I didn't see anything about how to handle the materials.
Really?
It's kind of an unspoken thing right now because it's so new. So it's just there's a little bit of caution that needs to be applied to that.
Now, what do you think the overall industry trend is right now? Because there's obviously some people out there that are going, okay, this is, you know, this is going to be like a cassette tape. It'll be here a couple of years. It's going to go away. It's fly by night.
It's been here
technology.
For 30 years, man. It's nothing new.
Is it just that the home market is just going to get bigger and better, and you think higher quality? Obviously, the industrial printers are amazing. You got NASA now. They printed their first tool up in the space station, I guess, and you know, they sent him the file, and the email is a big deal.
Yeah, like, we were actually printing that
wrench. I've been doing that for years, but okay.
At CES, like the second day, I'm sitting there thinking, well, that's something else cool I can print on our demo machines at our booth. And so I went and downloaded the NASA's 3D printable wrench, and I was printing that, and everybody walked up and like, hey, that's that wrench.
No, it's good to see that people still like NASA. I mean, because they don't get the press that they used to get. So.
No. Desktop 3D printers are here to stay. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. I still don't see one in every home, but I see a lot more people. You know, we've been doing this for 4 years. That's actually a long time in desktop 3D printer land.
Really? They fold that fast, huh?
Well.
Or do they just move on or sell out, or they getting eaten by some of the conglomerates
it was
out
really,
there?
It wasn't till about 2009, 2010 before it really became a known thing. And so, you know, we started in 2011. So we were 1 year late getting to the party, if you will. But there's a lot of imported machines with different stickers this year. That was a little bit surprising. Not really surprising, just a little bit kind of bum.
Right.
There's a lot of different machines that were just painted a different color with a different sticker on it.
Yeah.
So next year, there'll probably be one painted with a different sticker.
By the end of summer, I'm saying there's one that looks just like ours with a sticker on it.
However, in all, I think
that's all right. They can't move as fast as we can. Innovation is what made America great in the first place, and we're going to keep doing that. So,
and that's part of
a challenge accepted.
Going into an open source sort of field too is you're gonna have that.
Oh, even the closed source machines. Every closed source printer there was at least two Chinese clones.
Yeah.
Or Asians of some descent clones.
You can say China. Yeah. It's okay. It's probably
a lot of Taiwan nowadays, though, also.
Well, if you ask China, that's China.
Yeah.
So, a big advantage we have is we do all the manufacturing. You talked about the molds. I'm doing most of that.
24, 25 molds, something like that for theirs.
You know, we're John and I team up on a lot of things that we're machining and making, but we got a great team. You know, we work really good together. Lots of innovation from all those four main ones of us. There's Andy and JJ and Ole and me, and just the power of manufacturing right here. You know, the
3D printer,
if they
make it wrong, they make a million of them wrong. If we make it wrong, we just walk out to the machine and make it right.
Fix it.
The primary reason 3D printing is so powerful for people is they don't have to know all of that machine tool technical stuff that we know. You can think about what you're making. I say this often, I think, is you think about what you're making rather than how you're going to make it. You do need to know CAD. You design in a CAD system. Then you slice it in a slicing program, and then you print it on the printer.
That's after you've printed the, 500,000 things you can download and print.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
I always, tell people, the top questions that I get is, okay, what coding do I need to learn? You don't need to learn any coding. I said, eventually, you're going to want to start making stuff yourself.
You don't have to, but you're going to want to.
Yeah.
When you want to make that thing that you found and you downloaded, you want to make it your own and unique, personal. You know, 3D printers are great for making the one-of-a-kind things.
Yeah.
They're not good for making the same million things. Some of the other cool stuff, though, talking about CES, is the selfie sticks were all over the place. I don't know if you've heard about those yet.
The selfie sticks?
Cell phone camera holder selfie stick.
You know, what's funny is that, because again, for, you know, my business, that's been like on the stupid Chinese, we'll send it to you in 14 weeks.
Oh, Lord. I couldn't believe there were two rows in CES full of selfie sticks and cell phone cases.
It's been around for 3 to 5 years or something. It's nothing new. I'm surprised that it's really taken off all of a sudden.
Behind that, I would say, are drones. There's absolutely. Drones are pretty cool.
We won't call them drones.
Well, no,
they're quadcopters or hexacopters.
Yeah.
But
remote controlled aerial vehicles.
Yeah, that's not exactly.
Just call them a UAV.
Yeah.
You're not calling them a drone, but you are.
Right.
But there is a lot of that.
There were some really cool ones out there would be fun to have.
And that's something too that you can do is you can actually print the bodies and the propellers.
Yep. JJ's like got a printed drone or quadcopter. Sorry, at the shop there. Yeah. He's been working on since he was a teacher.
Intel had a really cool couple of drones and robot stuff printed up there.
Yep, there was a guy walking around with a little quadcopter that was a watch that he could sit there and pop off and fly.
Cool.
That was pretty neat.
That's pretty interesting. Did you guys see the selfie drone or quadcopter?
I got to see some
video of it.
Yeah, like CNET had a bunch of cameras walking around, and some of them had monitors, so like all of the stage.
Interesting concept. I think Tourist Traps is going to be pretty interesting with that thing. You have 150 people trying to throw their stupid little robot up there taking blurry photos.
It's going to be chaos.
It'll be interesting. What are some of the things that I know you don't think, you know, too far out in advance, but, you know, you guys, obviously, you're always doing something a little bit different. You're always improving the machines. I think every time I'm contacting you guys every 4 months or something like that, oh, we got a new thing on the machine to make it a little bit better. I mean, what are some of the stuff you're looking at doing? You got this new guy now. Is that going to be kind of being the focus of building that brand for the new guy, or what's next?
That keeps us, you know, relevant in all markets, the entry level all the way up to the guys that want to build their own machines, or they want a really big machine like, or a solid machine like your Orion that you have. Some of the other things that we're going to be working on more is getting better software and better control of the machines in different ways than before.
I think
you don't necessarily have to have a computer and a laptop.
That is an important part of the development of it, to make it available to more people.
I mean, most people nowadays have a phone that's more powerful than their 3-year-old laptop. So why aren't we
playing
using
around with that a little bit too? That's always good when you have that option, because, you know, like I said, I almost never plug it into my computer and run it.
Right.
Usually I run it from an SD card.
Right.
And it's out in my office. People come into the house and they look at it and they go, what the heck is that? That's so cool. Don't even know what it is. They just know it's a robot of some kind.
And it's a friendly robot.
Yeah. And I tell them about it and I print. I just spent, I was telling you guys before we started the podcast, about 10 minutes with a listener on my radio show the other day. And they were asking me specifically about the Orion Delta printer. You know, they want to buy one from you guys. And, you know, he was like, what I want to do is I want to make money with it. And so I'm tempering him. And look, you got to learn the machine. You got to be able to proficient at it to where you can put out a print that's worth selling. And but I had multiple companies over the past 6 months come to me and ask me to print prototypes for things that they're getting ready to manufacture.
Oh, yeah.
And a couple hundred here, a couple hundred dollars there. They're not spending the $10,000 that you know, these shops were trying to charge them, machine shops here locally, to get it done. And there's no minimum run. You know what I mean? You don't have to do a minimum run of like 400 or 500 items or something like that, which if it doesn't work, you're stuck with that material for no reason. So, I mean, it's a tremendous benefit for this for businesses. And you guys said you have a lot of businesses going in there, but individuals as well. But people are making jewelry with this stuff now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're chemically plating the prints and things like that.
We've actually got some of our guys from years ago when we first started that they were, you know, printing wedding rings and necklaces and jewelry and stuff. But that was rudimentary. We'll call it Minecraft style,
Sure.
But it's getting better and better. So with the stereolithography, especially, one of the other materials is a wax-based resin. So something that you can do just like the old jewelers used to do. Instead of carving out a piece of wax, they print it out.
Very interesting. All right, guys, so we have now a three lineup, offering from CMECNC.com right now. You've got the Rostock Max, which again comes unassembled. Yep. Will you guys assemble it for a fee if somebody really wanted it?
Man, they have to be local.
Only if they pick
local,
it up.
Okay,
it does not ship very well.
Yeah, it's a pretty big machine. Yeah. So you got that. That's $9.99.
Yep.
And you got the fully assembled Orion Delta, which is much smaller, will fit on a desktop, but again, takes up some vertical space, if you will. And that's $12.99. And then you've got the Aeris now that you're hoping to get, $5.99? $5.99. Cool. And then eventually the Part Daddy. You can start answering the questions for the Part Daddy for the extremely well off, if you will.
Ticking bids, we'll call
it. You guys were just in Vegas. You know where you should have gone? You should have gone to Lonnie Hammergren's house. Because Lonnie Hammergren, if you don't know, look him up. He's the guy that has the weird house in Vegas. And he is a collector. He's famous. He's a neurosurgeon. He's been in the local government there, but he's got a roller coaster around his house. He's a big collector. I bet if you were to walk up there with a picture of that thing, I think he'd buy it right on the spot.
Oh, I'll be driving through Vegas here in a couple days on the way to Burbank.
Lonnie Hammergren. You look him up. Trust me, it'll be good. So, guys,
Steve, you might find an empty trailer when I get there.
I'll build another one.
Our daddy can't lose his baby. No, he can't lose his baby.
But we'll build another one.
So you guys have got a Midwest Rep coming up. Is that right?
Yeah, March 20th through the 22nd over at the Elkhart County 4-H Fairgrounds in Goshen. This is the third year for the Midwest Rep Fest.
Was that the one that I was at last year?
Yep, last year you stopped by.
It was a lot of fun, by the way. It was great.
That was the second year. And the first year, that started from me and a couple buddies online. We're just going to hang out for the weekend and just geek out with 3D printer stuff. You know, we're 3D printer nerds. And
it's pretty cool.
It's really good. You'll see, like, every kind of rep style printer.
Yeah, it's pretty
made.
Much, you'll see crazy ideas and inventions. And
you'll meet people from all over the
hundreds
world.
Hundreds of printers. We'll have people from all over the world flying in. We had, first year was a little over 300. Last year, the second year, we had over 1,000 people. So
it was packed.
This year, we're gonna conservatively say 1,500, 2,000 people or more.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, it is a lot of fun. And one of the things I always tell people when they're looking at getting a 3D printing is, you know, you're not alone either.
Nope.
Because a lot of times you'll go to the store, you'll buy some new gadget, you've got to call an 800 number and hope that, you know, somebody in lands far, far away will be able to walk you through it without actually seeing what's going on. It's not that way with a 3D printer. The community's great. A lot of help.
And the whole festival is it's a very laid back. There's kind of no schedule, really. I think everybody wants a little more schedule every year we do it, but it's open to the public and
tell them the price, John.
It's free.
If you're interested, it's March.
Yeah, March 20th, 21st, and 22nd, and they can just go online and search for the Midwest RepRapFest.org.
Very cool. And as always, guys, if there's anything else you wanted to add before we get out of here for episode one of the Yet to Be Named podcast.
Stay tuned for next time.
Can we just name it the Yet to Be Named podcast?
That's what it is.
Maybe we can do
it
that.
It is today.
There it is.
So for John and Steve over at CMECNC.com, once again, the website is SEEMECNC.com. You can go buy your Rostock Max, your Orion Delta.
The Aeris
will be available soon.
March.
March.
Available in March.
Okay, so keep your eye on that. But you can also get really high quality filament and spare parts too. So if you've got a Rostock out there and you want to go ahead and get, you know, some upgraded parts and things like that, that's all available at CMECNC.com as well. Make sure you visit them online. Follow them on Twitter as well as Facebook. You guys, anywhere else? You're on Vine.
Oh, yeah, G+, Vine. We're on all
of them. Yeah, so you're everywhere. So
yep, just search for CMECNC.
It's a unique enough name. You'll find everything out there.
Not too many of us out there.
I'm Casey Hendrickson, and again, we look forward to hearing you guys, or talking to you guys, I should say, in the next podcast. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the CMECNC Printed 3D Podcast. To learn more about CMECNC's lineup of 3D printers and accessories, visit CMECNC.com.